Well, if you've been with us for the last couple of Wednesdays, didn't intend it to be that way, but we started talking about the importance and the power of our words, the importance and how powerful our words are. And as we sang that last song, says that every stronghold has to be broken. Do you know you break those things with your words? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The scripture just came up in me. It wasn't in my notes, but I believe the Lord wants to speak to somebody about this. Maybe somebody listening online. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, well, we're going to start in verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Then he goes on to say, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You know, your boss that continuously comes against you at work is not your problem. It's the enemy behind him. And instead of you complaining about the situation, you need to pray for your boss. You need to pray that, you know, if he's not a believer, that he comes to know the Lord. You know, you break that stronghold. Ask God to open the eyes of his heart. The devil's got him bound, got him blinded. He doesn't see. He doesn't know. He doesn't think the way you do if he's not a believer. So it's not his fault. He needs to come into a saving knowledge of Jesus the Christ. So he goes on to say in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not going to come at them in a natural way, but mighty in God. So our weapons are mighty. Say, our weapons are mighty. We're not left defenseless. They're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, strongholds are there because of Satan and his cohorts, and you can't even see him. You can't even see those little demon imps. But you have authority over them, and you can get those things to leave. You take authority. When you walk into the room, you carry the kingdom of God with you. And you need to know and understand that you have authority over those things and that you can go in there and things should change for the better by your presence being there. Don't think of it that, oh, well, I know that these people, you know, that they're all known. I'm just giving an example at work, you know. You know these three or four people and they're heathens. They're good ones. You know, they're cussing all the time and whatnot. But don't continue to meditate and talk about their condition. Start speaking to their condition. Start speaking to those demons. Tell them to leave. Stop praying. Get on your knees and pray for those people. God loves them just as much as he loves you. You're no more special. Everybody's special to God. So we have weapons that are mighty in God. Notice it's not in our own strength, it's in God's strength, but he's in us. So it's God in me working, but I have to partake or I have to participate with God. I have to activate his power. God's not just arbitrarily working through humans and empowering them without their consent, without their knowledge, without their knowing what's going on. No, he gave us his word. Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. See, Satan can take you out if you don't know the word of God. If you don't know you have authority over him. Hold your place right here. This just came up in me in chapter 10. And in verse 19, Jesus is speaking here. I believe this is after he sent the 70 out. Yep. He says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. It's reference to Satan. and over all power of the enemy. How much power of the enemy do you have authority over? Every bit of it. So you don't need to be concerned and be scared of demonic activity. You change it. You advance God's kingdom. Just think what this planet would look like if everybody got saved. If everybody got saved. I mean, come on. God loves them all. It's His divine purpose and will that they all come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know they won't, because Jesus already said that wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many take it. But narrow is the way that leads into salvation, and few find it. See, people have to find it, but that's where you and I come in. We're supposed to help people find it. And largely, I say from this pulpit that it's by the way you live your life. It's not so much that you tell them. You can tell them Jesus loves them, but if you look like the enemy, if you look like a sorry cuss, well, that's confusing them. Why would they ever want to participate in what you say is the goodness of God if you're not demonstrating the goodness of God? We need to be demonstrators of God's kingdom. Amen? So he says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing, no thing, say nothing, shall by any means hurt you. The only way the enemy can hurt you is if you give him place by opening a door, by opening the back door and leaving it open. How do you do that? You do that by participating in sin. You could open the door for the enemy by being in unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a big thing. Unforgiveness will bring scores of medical problems in your physical body and in your mind. That's a biggie. Jesus forgave us. God forgave us. For God so loved the world, He sent Jesus to die for our sins. Well, did He do it? Yes, He did. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So he says, nothing by any means shall harm you. But this is not just without condition. It's the condition is that you believe it, and then you take authority over those things that come against you. Jesus said we'd have tribulation, but he didn't say you had to fall down and let the devil beat your brains in. You take care of him. You run him out. Well, let's go to Mark 16. I know a lot of you know these scriptures, but you know what? How many of you have eaten steak before and like steak? You probably eat it again, won't you? Well, the Word of God's good to go over it again. As we start the new year, I just felt impressed to go back to some of the basics, because we can get, you know, so religious and so holy thinking that we just miss the basics and let things slip. Bible tells us over in Hebrews, don't let those things slip that you once had. All right, in Mark 16, he says, this is a great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow the Christians. No, it doesn't say that. It says, will follow those who believe. Now, if you're a believer, you're a Christian, but not all Christians believe the same. That all Christians believe, if they're a true Christian, believe that God sent Jesus into the world to die for them. They've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They've confessed Jesus. They believe God raised him from the dead. So they release faith to get born again. But they might not have faith to get healed. Growing up in the church I grew up in, I never heard one message about releasing faith. Never heard one message about how you can know you can be healed. When I started seeing in the Word of God that I knew for sure that I could be healed, it got me excited. That meant I didn't have to be sick anymore. I don't know about you, but I've been well and I've been sick, and well is better. I enjoy being well much better than sick. And so, you know, if I wake up in the morning and my throat's a little scratchy, I don't just start complaining, say, oh, no, I'm going to get something. I don't speak that at all. I speak against it. I said, oh, no, you don't, devil. said, Jesus took that. He took a sore throat, so I'm not taking it. If he took it for me, then I don't have to take it. By the stripes he bore, he took that. So I don't have to participate in it. So we're talking about our words and how powerful they are. That will dictate whether you get that or whether you get rid of that. And a lot of people don't believe that, but they're just going to, you know, it's not by chance. They're going to get it. If they don't know how to run it off, then they'll look to the remedies and whatnot. If it's just a sore throat, you know, they probably don't go running to the doctor if it's not serious. But what about if it is serious? What about that time with my daughter when I wasn't even there and they put her in an ambulance and brought her to the hospital? I didn't even have a choice. She's up there and she's in a coma. What was I going to believe then? The same thing I would have believed if it had been that morning and she said, Dad, I have a stomachache. I'd have laid hands on her. I'd have prayed over her. I'd have run that thing out, told that thing to leave and let her go to school. Did that many times. Whole school's getting the flu. Come flu season, people get prepared for that thing. Get ready. Get ready to get the flu. Why would you want to get ready to get the flu? That just seems so stupid. So what did I do? I spoke the word of God. I spoke my words, but I had to know what my words were inside. I had to have God's word in my heart first. I'd spent a lot of years getting the word of God. And when an emergency came up, I knew what to say. I said, no, you don't, devil. I'm right in the middle of the hospital emergency room and I'm screaming at the devil. I'm surprised they didn't call the police on me. But they heard the words I was speaking. I said, in the name of Jesus, she shall live and not die. And she'll declare the works of the Lord. Well, my daughter declares the works of the Lord today. That was some 20 years ago. By the stripes that Jesus bore, she was healed. If she was healed, she is healed. Doctors said, look at her. She don't look healed. Nurses, they're taking blood. They're doing all sorts of testing. They couldn't find out anything wrong with her. Yet she's in a coma with her eyes open. Doesn't even recognize me. But I didn't stop speaking. I was there laying my hands on her, and emergencies came up, and all the doctors and nurses left the room, left me there. So a doctor that they called in, more doctors, and they picked up the clipboard, said, Katie Sanborn, who's taking care of her? Oh, don't worry about her. Her father's in there with her. All of a sudden, I'm working for the hospital. I'm an emergency specialist. But I was. They knew I was warfare, just like it says in 2 Corinthians 10. It wasn't a carnal warfare. It was mighty in God. I was pulling down strongholds. I was telling, no, you don't, devil. You're not taking my daughter out. He tried to kill her many times. Not going to happen. But if I didn't know that, she probably wouldn't be with us today. But I knew the word of God, and I spoke the word of God, and I declared it. And the Bible says, if you decree and declare a thing, it shall be established. Jeremiah 1:12, God says, I watch over my word to perform it. I'm speaking God's word. I wasn't just a wishing and a hoping. I was a speaking the word of God. The word of God doesn't return void. The word of God is sent, and it accomplishes what it's sent to do. It brought life to my daughter. An hour goes by. She's still in a coma. I'm still speaking life. I'm not giving up. No way. An hour turns into 2 hours. I kept speaking it. Kept speaking it. What do you believe? Well, I found out what I believed. And that night, I was supposed to go see Jesse Rich that night down in Concord. And, I wasn't even married to my wife. We were just dating at the time. And we went to Friendly's. It was about 10:45, just before they closed, to get something to eat because we'd been up at the hospital all night. And I pulled into the parking lot, and I just turned to my date. And I said, I'm sorry we didn't get to go to the meeting that we were going to go to. See, I took my dates to spirit-filled meetings. But I tell you what, I got a good wife. I got a good wife, spirit-filled, full of the Lord, not the devil. And I turned to her and said, I'm sorry, we didn't get to go to that meeting. And the Lord spoke so loudly to me in that car. He says, you didn't get to go hear my word tonight. You got to do my word tonight. I'll never forget that. Never forget that. These signs will follow those who believe. I'm a believer. I decided a long time ago, if I was going to be a believer, I was going to be a believer that actually believed. I wasn't going to mess around. If I'm going to get chastised and I'm going to get persecuted, I'm going to believe the truth. What's the point of half believing and getting persecuted for? And I had much evidence throughout my early years in life, first 20 years of my life, that the word of God didn't always work. Well, people didn't know how to work the word. You've actually got to believe it in your heart. You can't just read it. You can't just speak it. You got to believe what you're speaking. Don't you tell me the devil and the demons know if you believe. They're testing you. They're watching you. What do you think familiar spirits are? They're afraid of me because I give them the word. It's like devil doesn't have horns. He's got knots in his head. Every time you give him the word of God, it's another knot in his head. He's a freaky looking thing. I've put so many knots in his head. He looks like a cone head by now. They'll cast out demons. Jesus said this. They'll speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will or shall recover. Now, when that's operating, you're laying hands, you're believing that if you're doing that. Because I've had many people tell me, well, what if I do it and it doesn't work? Well, don't worry about it. It's not up to you, but you do have to believe it. If you don't believe it, you can short-circuit it. If the person that you're praying for doesn't believe it, it can short-circuit it. You get three wills involved. Yours, God's, and the recipient. Now, if you can just get the recipient to get their mind in neutral and not speak against it, you can get something done. That's why you can't just go and force yourself on people and try it. Jesus didn't. Oh, we're going to go clear out the hospitals. No, you're not. Unless every one of them says yes. It would be the will of God to empty the hospital. So we got his will. It might be your will, but it's got to be theirs. You know how many people want to stay sick? That just sounds stupid to me, but they do. They want to complain about it. Had a woman come to one of our healing services, 80-some years old, sat right over here in the middle and never came up. She came in. It probably took her 2-3 minutes to get in here with a walker and everything. I thought, well, we're going to be praying for her. She didn't want to be prayed for. She had written a list of scriptures that she was going to come and prove to me that God didn't heal. At the end of it, I went over and I talked to her and she says, well, we're supposed to suffer. I said, not suffer physically. Persecution, yes. I opened my Bible. I showed her the scriptures. She walked out of here the same way she came in. Didn't want anything to do with it. Never has been back. It's so sad. She was in a lot of pain. But I couldn't help her. God couldn't help her. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord, verse 19, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and they preached everywhere. Well, that's good because he told them in verse 15 to do that. So they went out and preached everywhere. Look what the Lord did. Look what the Lord has done. He worked with them. You see, the Lord will work with you, but you've got to work with the Lord. If you refuse to go out and preach the word's not getting preached. If everybody stopped preaching the word, there'd be no more word going forth. God confirms his word. He goes on to say, he worked with them and he confirmed the word through the accompanying signs. That word signs there means miracles in the senses realm proving that Jesus is Lord. Supernatural miracles. And you and I can do them. You and I can do them. You got to believe it. But John 14, 12, Jesus said you would. I know it makes a lot of people's head go tilt. We'd do the same miracles Jesus did? Yes. Absolutely 100% yes. If you're going to believe it and you're going to step out and do it. And boy, we're doing that. We're raising up a healing ministry in this place. And these two young ladies over here, we got healing rooms starting and Sozo ministry starting. And we're going to be doing more healing services. I'm already looking at getting somebody to come in June. Help me with one of them. Somebody that you'd be happy to hear about. Come on. Yeah. Oh, we've got scores of great testimonies. We give him the glory. But you know what? You get the benefit. Isn't that cool? I mean, what a great exchange. He takes your pain. He gives you his life. He gives you life. Pain-free. I just love it. God is such a good God. That's what we got to tell the world is how good he is. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at them. You know, we've been blessed to have 6 prisoners from the prison work release or whatever, and they're almost ready to get out of prison. Some of them been in prison 20 years and more. And had lunch with them today. And, you know, they're beginning to open up and ask me questions and whatnot. I think it's just too cool that they are able to go out 3 days a week. And they come here one day, they go to Arbo Ministries another day, and they go to Word of Life in Concord. They're going to all places where God is. And they're enjoying it. They love coming. And they'll do anything. They've cleaned our floors cleaner than we've ever cleaned them. And they're having fun doing it. Because you know what? They've been behind a wall for 20 years, and they've been locked up, and they know that it's freedom when you get here. And so they're, you know, I encourage them. We all talk to them and we encourage them. They're learning skills. I mean, one of the days here, there was a couple of guys. The officer had them washing windows. They'd never washed windows before. When we were having lunch, I said, I knew a guy in a church I used to go to. He started a window washing business. I said, he's making like $50,000 a year. They just about fell over. You know, they get paid $3 a day. 50 grand a year? I can make $3 a day. Now I can go to $200 a day. And so they're learning skills. Anyway, our words. Jesus said he worked with them and he confirmed the word. When you speak the word of God, here's the thing that Christians need to know is don't speak about the problem. Don't talk your problem. Talk the solution to the problem. Talk the answers. What do you want? If you want more sickness, then keep telling everybody how sick you are. But if you want deliverance, then start speak. Find what God says about that. God's not happy when his kids are sick. Doesn't glorify him in any way. And don't fall for that old lie of the devil. Oh, well, I was so sick and they brought me to the hospital and I got to witness somebody there. You can go to the hospital and witness to people anytime you want. You don't have to be sick and brought in on a stretcher to do it. It's some badge of humility. Well, I was laying in my hospital bed for a week, but I had a chance to talk to the nurse. That isn't the way God wants. Yes, it will work. But God didn't put you in the hospital. That's the thing you got to get out of your stupid thinking, is that God brought you there. If you have such a stirring in your heart to minister to people in the hospital, then do it. Because that would be of God. That wouldn't be the devil. He's not giving you the idea to get people well. He's the one making them sick. That would be stupid. He wouldn't do that. Yeah, it would be a kingdom divided against itself. Anyway, back to 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 10. You had your finger still stuck in there? No, I didn't see that anybody did. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. So you do have weapons. They are mighty in God, and they will pull down strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing, look at this, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's where the battle is. These thoughts that come, are they God's thoughts? Is it the word of God that's coming to you? Then you speak that, and that's the answer you have. That's what you'll get. But is it the problem? And those things are coming? Those things are rising up against the knowledge of God. If Jesus bore our sicknesses, carried our pain, took our sicknesses and diseases, then any of that would be coming against the knowledge of God. And so what are we supposed to do? Cast it down. Just because a doctor, I mean, doctors are human. They went to medical school, they got a certificate, and now they're doing what? Practicing. They're practicing. Just because they give you a report. Look, I'm not knocking doctors. If you need to see a doctor, you go see a doctor. If you don't have the faith, or you don't get somebody in agreement with you to pray over you and believe, then you need a doctor. I understand that. But doctors are not God. And when they give you a report, just because the report says, this doesn't look really good. We've run all these tests, and you know, and they add up, cha-ching, $1,200, cha-ching, $5,000. And then they give you a big bill at the end of it all. God doesn't do that. His health plan is free. Thank you, Lord. Pain-free, too. Don't have to jab you with needles. Stick stuff in your body. And so, if a doctor gives you a report, it's simply that. It's what he's reporting he has found. If he found you've got a problem with your kidney, well, take the report and believe God. Speak to that kidney. Tell that thing to line up. God doesn't make junk. He didn't make you with a bad kidney. Speak the life of God into that thing. Get somebody else to agree with you that knows the word. Come here and we'll pray over you. We'll speak over you. We'll declare that thing healed. Not 99%, 100%. I won't pray for you for 99%. Oh, I just want to feel better, a little bit better. Nope, it's not going to do it. I'm not going to pray for you. Why would I want to pray for you to get 50% better when I can pray and you get 100% better? Yeah, that's right. God did it, do it all. And so we have to cast down those thoughts and every high thing that exalts itself, even if it's got a doctor's name at the end of it. Okay? Against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. See, I've underlined this in my Bible, every thought. I can't decide on my own what thoughts I want to, you know, entertain and what thoughts I don't want to. Every thought has to be lined up against God's word. If it doesn't agree with God's word, I cast it down. I get it out of there. So bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of the anointing of God, to the obedience of the word of God. God's word is incorruptible. Nothing can corrupt the word of God. Satan himself can't. When you're speaking the word, that's why he's got to flee with terror. He has no antidote for God's word. He can't come against it. He can't put it down. That's why the word of God is so powerful. So powerful coming out of your mouth. You're the deciding factor in your life. You have a more authority over you do than I do. You have more authority over what you say than God does. God's not making you say things. He wants you to speak his word, but when you get foolish and speak things contrary, he lets you do it, doesn't he? He let Adam, he told that boy, don't be eaten of this fruit. He told him not to. He says, in that day you shall surely die. That boy just was silly and he went ahead and did it anyway. Guess what? He found out. He went from life to death. So he says right here, take every thought into captivity. We don't have to try it and make stupid mistakes. Besides that, we don't try the word. We do the word. James says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Don't try it. You didn't try to get saved. Come on. You know what you, you know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In the Amplified, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. You're not going to get a bazooka and blow the devil out. But they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Notice it says destruction. You got to destroy it. A stronghold. What's a stronghold? It could be, and it most often is a mindset. It's a mindset that allows the devil access into your life. Whether it be through drugs, whether it be through pornography, whether it be through lust, whether it be through fear, whether it be through anger. It's a mindset. Your mind is set to respond a certain way. And so that's why we need to renew our minds to the Word of God so that we're not any longer conformed to the world. We were conformed to the world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So it starts in our mind. I think this past Sunday or maybe the week before when the kids were here, I said that up to about 12 years old, these kids have mindsets in them that all through their life they're going to carry, and they're going to respond a certain way based on what's been programmed in them. A lot of times we don't even think about what we say, we just react. If it's not reacting in a good way, we need to get God's word on it so that the first words, you see, first words are critical. When I got that report, or when I got that phone call from the police department that my daughter's on her way, my first words were critical. My first words were, she will live and not die. And at that point, I didn't even know 100% if it was my daughter. They had a lot of information messed up. The address was wrong. The age was wrong. And I thought, well, dear God, I'm the only one they called. If it's not my daughter, who is it? Somebody, some little girl's on her way to the hospital. So I said, I'm going. And then it was her. But turns out that it was the person that called 911 that was at a different address with it, and it was 9 years old and not 12 and so on. But I didn't know that. But anyway, back to our words. You have to speak the word of God if you want God's answers, if you want God's results, if you want the victory that Jesus paid the price for, you have to cooperate and activate that victory. It's not automatic. It's so evident that it's not all automatic. He died for everybody, but not everybody is going to receive Jesus. He paid the price for healing for everybody, even the worst of the worst criminals. He bore their sickness and carried their pain. And you know, you could go into a prison to the worst of the worst, and they could be in a sick condition, and you could pray for them, and God will heal them before they even get saved. I can't tell you how many people, because I don't know if we kept track, but people that have gotten healed at a healing service, they didn't even know the Lord. Somebody invited them to come. I think Connie, your daughter, was one. She didn't know the Lord when she came, and God healed her of a bunch of stuff. And then afterwards, Kathy, I think it was you, said, well, do you know the Lord? And she says, no, I don't, but I want to. And you led her to the Lord after the service was over. Yeah. Yeah, just ask her. He didn't even impress on me to do that. I mean, we had enough going on with all the things she was saying was wrong. But he took care of them all, didn't he? He's so gracious. Well, praise the Lord. Time's just flying. It's because we're having fun, right? Wow. Connie, that's got to be a world record. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. One translation says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. Here's the reason why. Because as you think on things, your thoughts, your thought life, your thoughts end up inside of you. And Jesus said that they're coming out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's what puts them into action. That's what creates those things. So what are you putting in there? Jesus said, you know, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings out good things. But he said also the evil man out of the evil treasure in his heart, he brings forth evil things. And then he went on to say, let's just turn over there. Matthew chapter, hold on, 12. Matthew chapter 12, I believe it's found. That sounds about right. Yeah. We'll finish up on this tonight. Verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. I wrote in my Bible here, it's a truth, but thoughts will bear fruit. Thoughts that are not, let me qualify that, thoughts that are not, or thoughts that are acted upon are going to bring forth fruit, either good or bad. That's why things that come against the knowledge of the Word of God have to be cast down. Otherwise, they're going to come into, if you keep speaking them, you don't want to speak the foolishness that you used to before you came into the kingdom of God. So Jesus is speaking here. He says, you bunch of snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's where the power of the words lies. You're either going to justify, you're either going to agree with God's word and get God's results, or you're going to be speaking what the world says, you're going to be speaking what the devil says, and you're going to be bringing forth those results. And you know, it's pretty sad when a believer, when a Christian doesn't know the word of God, and they got a multitude of problems going on in their life, and they don't know why. And largely, you know, I tell them to, you know, back up and listen to what you've been saying. What have you been saying? You're telling me, I understand you've got this problem. I understand you're telling me how bad it is. But is that what you say every day? Because that's what gives the enemy access. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. That's how you give him place with this big tongue that wags all the time. You license him to come in and keep that problem. Start speaking God's word on that situation. Jesus talked about that, and he in Mark 11:23, he said, you speak to it. Let's just close there. I said we're closing here, but we're so close. It's just back one chapter. Come on. I can't let you go without, I'm sorry, it's Mark. All right, you're right one book over, Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. Most of you know this. But it doesn't matter if you know it and you don't do it. You got to be a doer of the word. I'm glad you know it, but are you doing it? Okay. Jesus answered and said in verse 22, have faith in God. There's a translation that says, have the God kind of faith. I mean, faith comes from God. He gave us the measure of faith. It's his faith that he gave us, deposited into us. Now we build upon that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By his word. It's his faith that's going to bubble up inside of you. So have faith in God, for truly I say to you, whoever says, here we go, we're speaking. We're talking about the power of your words. You are the architect of your life by what you speak. You control your destiny by what you say. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to end up? Do you want to end up in hospitals all the time? Or do you want to end up, you know, you can take more vacations because you're healthy? Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, what's the mountain? The mountain is the problem in your life. And I encounter people sometimes that have mountain ranges because they've been speaking so long about this problem, and now we got this problem, and now we got this problem, and they have a mountain range. But you know what? That's not too big for God. He can take care of a mountain range. I don't care if it's bigger than Mount Everest. Most of the time they are. You know, to the individual, anything going on in your life is horrific. We don't ever make light of people's problems. I want to shine the light on people's problems. Let the light dispel the darkness. So you put the word is the light. So let your light shine. What's coming out of you? Does the world know who you are as a believer? So he says, for truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, you got to speak to it, be removed and cast into the sea. So you tell sickness to go, and you don't doubt in your heart. This scripture here is for you to speak, and there's no room for doubting. James makes it clear that the person that doubts goes back and forth, is tossed to and fro. It's just like the waves of the sea. He goes on to say, let not that man think that he'll receive anything. You cannot. You don't need mountain faith. You need pure faith. You can't have doubt and unbelief mixed in with it. Jesus couldn't do any miracle in his own hometown because they knew him, and they're judging him by what they knew of him. And he couldn't do much at all. Didn't say it said he couldn't, didn't say he wouldn't. He couldn't. They limited even Jesus. Well, people with doubt and unbelief will limit you helping them. That's why you need to have their cooperation. Amen. That means I agree with it. I do agree with it because that's the word of God. Okay, speak to it, be removed, cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, you have to believe what you say. You have to believe God's word in your heart, but when you say it, you have to believe the thing you say. It's not enough just to believe it, and then when it comes to speaking it, well, I'm not sure if this is going to work. No. You go back to the word and you get your faith built up so that when you speak it, it's going to work. He says, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The qualification is that you've got to believe it and you've got to speak it. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet and we'll close with prayer tonight. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word has fallen on ears that were hearing ears tonight, and that it's going into the good ground of these, your people's heart. So therefore, Father, that means this word is going to grow up. It's going to produce faith in them. Father, it's going to make them stronger in this area that we've talked about tonight. I pray, Father, that you'd continue to mutter that in their mind, that it would continue to go over and over and over in their minds, that they would see the truth of the word. Father, that they'd remember these scriptures, that they'd remember them not just for memory, but they'd remember them and know that they're true and that they're in their heart, and when they speak them, they're going to work. Father, I just thank you for these people that come out on Wednesday night. And I just declare and decree a special blessing over them. They're the Wednesday night blessed people because of their faithfulness to come out and hear your word. Father, I pray that over not just them, but over their families, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. I apply the blood of Jesus over them and their families. They and their families shall live and not die. I thank you, Father, for your life. I just speak your life into them, into their minds, Father. I pray over their minds right now that if there be mindsets there that are not of yours, I'd come against them in the name of Jesus. I command those things to be uprooted and moved out of their minds. They'll have new mindsets based on your word, Father. So we thank you, Lord. You're accomplishing much here tonight. You're rearranging our minds, some of us. We thank you for it. We bless you. We honor you. Father, help us this day, this week, as we go to about our own work and homes, Father, that we would bring the goodness of God to all that come around us and all that we come in contact to. Open doors, Father, for us to speak goodness, your goodness into their lives. Give us opportunities to lay hands on the sick. Give us opportunities to minister to people. Father, help us to just do it because we love them and we love you. And Father, you said in your word that the world's going to know us by our love for one another. So help us not to just speak it, but to actually live it. We thank you, Father, for all that's been said and done here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you are dismissed. Thank you all for coming.